Most marketers aspire to be data-driven, but what does that actually mean when you don't have the luxury of a data warehouse, dedicated team of analysts, or engineers? Many face the frustrating reality of messy attribution models or marketing CRMs that just don't integrate with ad platforms. If you've ever found yourself wasting hours in spreadsheets or entangled in team conflicts about who gets credit for a conversion, this conversation is for you. In this episode, we're going to talk about gathering and storing marketing data, what to do if you find yourself struggling with data on an under-resourced team, and what the next steps are if you want to make your team more data-driven. I'm Paxton Gray, and this is The Campaign. Hello, everyone. I am Paxton Gray, CEO of 97th Floor. 97th Floor is a digital marketing agency built to deliver world-class organic and paid channel strategies for mid-level and enterprise organizations. Thank you for joining us today for another episode of The Campaign. The Campaign is a marketing podcast about better knowing your audience, innovating beyond best practice, and converting visitors into customers. You can find past episodes of The Campaign on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and at 97thfloor.com. Today's guest is Gallant Chen, founding partner of Gallant Growth and a seasoned marketing executive with a track record of scaling growth for B2B SaaS and marketplace businesses. Gallant has served as an advisor and consultant for companies including DocuSign, Shopify, New Relic, Mixpanel, Nutanix, Upwork, and Thumbtack on marketing strategy, customer acquisition, retention, and monetization. He has deep expertise in demand gen and paid acquisition, but also supports areas including the hiring of internal or agency teams, lifecycle and email marketing, CRO, marketing analytics, and marketing operations. Prior to founding Gallant Growth, Gallant ran digital marketing at Zendesk and held marketing roles at SurveyMonkey and Apple. Gallant started his career as a strategy consultant at Bain & Company and holds an MBA from the Kellogg School of Management and a Bachelor of Science from Stanford University. In this episode today, we're going to talk about number one, why most marketing teams can't make truly data-driven decisions, including how severe under-resourcing and disconnected teams leave marketers guessing what actually works. Number two, what realistic data solutions look like from the ideal marketing data warehouse down to practical workarounds using existing tools like Salesforce or spreadsheets. And number three, how can we unlock dramatically better platform performance, specifically why feeding quality conversion signals to ad platforms improves their AI optimization? Let's get into it. All right, Gallant, thank you so much for being on the show today. We're excited to have you and diving in. Gallant, you have said that most people feel like they're doing data-driven marketing, but they're not actually doing it, or at least not driving all the way that they could. Where do you feel like marketers are falling short? Where do you see in your consulting organizations that aren't, like, where are they falling short of doing true data-driven marketing?
I think one of the challenges for marketing as a function is that oftentimes it's under-resourced from a data reporting analytics perspective. You know, I work with a lot of companies where, you know, in some cases, you might have a team of 20, 30, 50 plus marketers. And in some cases, they have one analytics person supporting the entire organization and function. And I think about how important data and reporting and analytics is for the function of marketing, especially a lot of the digital demand gen performance stuff. And I just think that that is not enough in most cases. And so I think, like, part of the challenge is for marketing teams to build the case and get the right resourcing. Sometimes that is because those types of resources are centrally located in the organization, right? There might be a centralized analytics or data engineering function. And then those teams are often not as familiar with marketing data and reporting, in part because a lot of those teams are primarily usually built to support a lot of the finance or product or engineering side of the business. And so marketing is often, you know, a secondary priority for them. And so, you know, for the marketing teams to justify the right resourcing can be quite challenging.
If you were to wave a magic marketing wand over a company to create the ideal setup from a data and marketing, a data-fueled marketing perspective, what would that setup look like? What roles and functions do you think organizations should build within or dedicate to a marketing team?
It's a good question. There's a lot of pieces to it. And I think maybe that's part of the problem, which is there is just making sure that you have the data that you need, and then collecting that data, and then actually being able to put it in the right places where it's actionable and usable. In some cases, that means building reporting, dashboards, different tools that can support the different functions of marketing. So there's some of that, which is just what is the data that is actually needed? And from my perspective, to really understand marketing, you want to understand the end to end, right? Which is like, we do a bunch of things from a marketing perspective. We, you know, invest in a bunch of channels. We run a bunch of events. We, you know, have a bunch of campaigns, and we spend a bunch of money that drives, in some cases, traffic that gets us leads from events. And then what does that lead to downstream for the business in terms of, you know, depending on the types of business, whether that's like, if you're a B2B, more traditional B2B business, that's leads and, you know, MQLs and SQLs and opportunities and pipeline and ultimately close one. And being able to, like, first of all, collect all that data and then understand what are sort of all the touch points and the life cycle interactions that those customers had before, or prospects had before becoming customers. Just gathering all that data, connecting it, and being able to report on it is quite a significant undertaking, right? Because first off, you need to like architect the systems. You need to understand what you need to collect, and then you actually need to build the systems to collect it. And in order to do that, oftentimes you're working with existing software tools, right? So if you think about your typical, you know, B2B marketing tech stack, you probably have some sort of like front end analytics solution that you're using. Maybe that's Google Analytics. Maybe that's an Adobe Analytics. You probably have some sort of like JavaScript tracking to understand the sources that people are coming in from, in terms of, you know, are they coming in direct via organic search, paid search, or other referral channels? And then you're tracking things like form submissions and leads, and then trying to understand like, okay, where did those come from? And then following those down the funnel in a sort of like a marketing automation platform or in a CRM, like a Salesforce, and understanding which of those convert from leads to actually marketing qualified leads that ultimately lead to, you know, opportunities and pipeline. And so there's a lot of data pieces that need to be connected. And then you need to build sort of the reporting layer on top of that. And, you know, so it requires having the right systems, gathering the right data. And then in order to do a lot of these things, you often need, you know, data engineering resources, right? To be able to connect the different data sources, or perhaps pull from the data sources and push it into like a data warehouse, right? So I think, you know, one of the things that I think is ideal, because you asked sort of like, you know, if I could wave a magic wand and say, these are the things that you want, is I typically recommend that clients have a marketing specific data warehouse. And I would say a lot of companies typically have a data warehouse of some kind, but it's usually a product data warehouse or a finance data warehouse. And they don't always have a marketing data warehouse. There may be some marketing data that is collected in that data warehouse, but it's not specific for marketing. And so I feel pretty strongly that if possible, marketers should have their own data warehouse that captures all of the marketing data, puts it into one place where the marketing team can report on that, right? And so in order to do that, you need the data engineering resources to do that. Those resources are not cheap, right? And so for marketing to justify that is quite challenging. And then that's just getting the data into the systems and then being able to have it accessible. On top of that, you need data analytics, data science resources to actually figure out what that data means, how to present it in a reportable fashion that supports the needs of the different functions of marketing. And then in some cases to actually understand and interpret it and make sure that the data, you know, is actually actionable. And that, you know, in some cases that it's statistically significant, all these sorts of things that again are like relatively expensive resources, right? Like most marketing teams, depending on the size, probably don't have a full-time dedicated data science resource, right? They might be able to borrow part of a data scientist or a data science team's resources, but in most cases, they don't have it. But the reality is, you know, if you think about some of the things that they need to be able to do, it's often quite important as a skill set that is therefore lacking in the teams.
Yeah. So I'd imagine part of the barrier to getting this level of data within the marketing function is incentives for individuals. And I think it could potentially maybe even boil down to that. The CEO or C-suite has one set of motivators that are perhaps different than motivators at the director level within marketing or even the tactical execution level. And I wonder if perhaps those incentives don't align, or when we try to get budget for this data, we're not accurately addressing those incentives at the higher levels. So I guess if you could lay out, you know, I wouldn't expect this to be a complete list, but what are some of the benefits? Like, what's the gold at the end of that rainbow or that struggle, I guess, actually, of building out that data function? Like, what will marketers be able to do that they can't do now? And what will that mean for organizations in a dollars and cents sense?
I think to the extent that you have the right data and reporting and analytics to support marketing, then what that will enable is for marketing to understand, you know, to a fairly, you know, in some cases, in a fairly detailed level, what is essentially working and not working, right? Now, there's obviously some challenges in terms of understanding, like even if I collect all of this data and I have data science resources to say that, you know, these things are correlated, right? Correlation is not always causation, in which case sometimes you have to do things like incrementality tests to sort of differentiate. But I think if you can have all of the data, then it should allow you to understand, you know, essentially like where you should focus your marketing resources going forward and better sort of allocate the limited resources that you have from a budgeting perspective to go after the areas that are the highest return in terms of a marketing investment. And what that allows you to do is get more for your dollars going forward, right? In terms of like optimizing existing spend, right? So to the extent that you have the ability to understand, you know, that these specific channels are performing better than these other channels, and therefore I should shift my dollars, that can help you become more effective as a marketing organization, right? And so there's the ability to optimize the existing spend. That's sort of like one major benefit. And then the second major benefit, which in some cases a little more challenging, is to help figure out where there are opportunities to increase spend and grow, right? Mm. And I think like ultimately, you know, a lot of the sort of like C-level folks, and especially certainly the CEO and the folks on the sales side, are going to be very focused on how can we grow the business? How can you deliver more pipeline? How can we actually make more money as a business? And, you know, from that perspective, it's always to some degree challenging to understand, okay, which of the areas that I'm investing in already have more headroom to grow, right? And to the extent you already know what's working well and you have the data to understand where there is headroom, then that allows you to have the ability to hopefully justify future investments, right? And so like, I'll give you a very specific example, right? So like, to the extent that I'm investing in non-brand paid search as a channel, right? And it performs well from a return on ad spend perspective, right? I'm meeting my, whatever my efficiency goals are in terms of a profitable channel, right? Meaning I'm able to acquire leads at a reasonable rate. It hits my target cost per MQL or my target cost per opportunity, or my pipeline return on ad spend is above one, right? Obviously, that may or may not be profitable depending on how well you convert your pipeline. Right. But if you can look at it and say, non-brand paid search is profitable, this is how profitable it is, and then be able to understand, I also have the data in it because I have all of this in my data warehouse and I've looked at it, that can help me understand, I actually have a lot of headroom in paid search. And I can say that because I can look at impression share, I can look at what my competitors are spending, I can look at how much I've spent in the past, and understand that if I invest these incremental dollars, that I can expect this incremental return, right? Meaning like if I invest another X dollars in paid search, I can deliver this out from an output perspective in terms of these more, this many more leads, this many more MQLs, this much more pipeline, this much more closed one. And again, that is profitable. And then what that allows you to do is for marketing to not only better optimize, which was obviously like the point one, but to actually find the opportunities to grow, right? So I think those are kind of like the two key areas that really having data can help you really truly understand, right? As opposed to we're doing a bunch of stuff, we don't know, you know, which is one of the challenges for marketing, right? Which is in most cases, the marketing teams are doing lots of things. And so it can be challenging to figure out of all the things that we're doing, what is it that's actually driving the business to the extent that marketing is having an impact?
Yeah. I've seen marketing teams get caught up when it comes to data. You know, data is inherently rear facing. It is what has happened. Yeah. And I think a kind of a novice move in the marketing world is to place so much emphasis on what has happened and not enough emphasis on so what will happen, right? And so I think getting the investment for the data, if we're making a stronger case for this is going to inform the future rather than this helps me better understand the past, that's just not a compelling standpoint. And I think sometimes we rely a little bit too much on that. And particularly around AI, I think when it comes to AI, I'm convinced that those with more and better data are going to be the ones who will catapult forward. And I'm curious if you have any stories or use cases around companies or brands that have taken some really cool data and used it in AI, or have you seen anything like that yet to further add another like button or badge to the case of like, hey, you got to invest in gathering more data?
It's a good question. I don't know if, let me think about that. I think, you know, one area that, and arguably this is an area that a lot of marketers have used AI for for many years now, which is effectively smart bidding from all the different ad platforms. So if you think about it today, even like your Facebook and Meta ads, as well as Google ads, a lot of the way that they are pushing advertisers is to give them the data to optimize and to drive results for you, right? And, you know, and as part of that, they are asking you to give up control, which I think for some marketers can be quite disconcerting, right? Which is like, hey, it doesn't matter what keywords you bid on. Don't worry about the match types. Don't worry about, you know, what the ad copy is. We'll do it for you. And, you know, I think as marketers who've had those controls and feel like we know what we're doing in terms of choosing the right keywords that make sense for our business, or what match types make the most sense, or what ad creative is going to resonate most with our customers, that's kind of, it feels strange, right? Because essentially we are giving up control. But what I will say is that I have found that not always, but in many cases, when you give the platforms the right data set to optimize on, they will drive good performance for you, right? And so one of the challenges is making sure that you give them the right signal so that they will actually optimize and get you the best results, right? And what I have found is that when you do that, they do quickly figure out what works and what doesn't work, right? As an example, one of my clients, you know, was very focused from a smart bidding perspective previously on essentially just leads, right? And so they were driving leads. And so the goal and bidding was optimized to drive the most leads for their business. And what they found is that, you know, Google could drive leads at a low cost per lead, but that the lead quality was quite poor, right? And that's because ultimately, like, Google's trying to drive as many leads as possible at the lowest cost for you. And because of that, they're going to be the lowest leads that are going to exist, right? Whereas if you can optimize to a more downstream metric, for example, you know, opportunities or even SQLs, then you're giving Google much better signal. And so they can figure out pretty quickly, oh, these leads don't convert to SQL. So, and those were driven by these keywords and these match types, and I'm going to turn that off, right? And I'm going to focus on the ones that actually are actually driving your SQLs or your opportunities or whatever it is that you are now optimizing on. If you give them good signal, then they actually will find you the best stuff. And I honestly do believe that in most of those cases, having that type of data is actually driving better results for marketers.
Great use case. That's a perfect example. And again, it merits investment then, where you can connect the dots between, listen, if I can get better data and cleaner data, then I can feed it into this. I'm going to get better output. And that's a language that C-suite, I think, understands.
And I think it's one of these challenges, which is sometimes it is difficult for marketers to justify and build the case that, hey, I need to actually push this downstream conversion data from my platforms, right? From Salesforce or from my data warehouse, and I need to push it back into the ad platforms, right? Because that requires essentially like an engineering project, right? To connect to the API, to push, figure out, you know, what is the data source, how I'm going to push that data on a regular basis to make sure that Google or Meta has the right data. And in a lot of cases, the marketing teams don't have the right resources to actually do this, right? Because it does require some, you know, development skills and some data engineering work. And if they don't have those skill sets, then they need to go figure out what skill sets in the company do have those resources that then can support these efforts. And then part of the challenge is, while they may, those resources may have the technical understanding to figure out how to connect to an API, they're not familiar with a Google Ads API platform or a Meta Ads API platform. So they have to learn it too, right? And so it's actually a pretty significant lift to actually put in place the infrastructure to do offline conversions or CAPI. And therefore it oftentimes doesn't happen, right? So you can, you know, I've worked with companies where I'm like, oh, wow, you're spending millions per month. And yet you don't have good data that's being pushed back into the ad platforms. You're just relying on the downstream.
Yeah.
Recent data shows that brands are seeing a 30 to 50% decrease in traffic because of Google's AI overviews. That's an enormous traffic loss. If this is something you're thinking about, either because you need to recover traffic or stay ahead of all the changes in AI search, I want to offer you a completely free AI overview audit. I'm Brittany Dillard, a senior SEO strategist at 97th Floor, and our teams use this exact audit for our clients to discover where brands sit in AI overview results compared to competitors. This AIO audit informs our strategy for how to drive more conversions as AI continues to develop in search. And we've been able to help brands maintain conversions and therefore revenue even while search traffic drops. If you're interested in getting this comprehensive AI overview audit done for your brand completely free, head on over to 97thfloor.com/AI-audit and fill out the form on that page so our team can get started. A link to that page will also be in the show notes. And trust me, you want to take advantage of this one.
Hi, I'm Kennedy Hart, Growth Marketing Specialist at 97th Floor. And today I am bringing you the latest in marketing and AI news. Search Engine Land just conducted a large investigation into Google search systems, and the findings are pretty revealing. They uncovered nearly 1,200 Google experiments running behind the scenes, way more than anybody expected. The interesting part is that Google isn't building just one AI assistant. They're creating dozens of specialized agents to help with health, cooking, travel, and more. Their internal debug menu showed almost 90 projects in development. Search Engine Land also found that Google has a system that basically creates a mathematical profile of your entire digital life to track your long-term and real-time behavior, as well as systems to know if you're driving, walking upstairs, or sleeping. The big takeaway for marketers is that if your brand isn't recognized as a validated entity in their system, you're basically invisible. The reality is that we're now optimizing for an entire ecosystem of AI agents that are constantly learning about us.
A lot of these organizations, despite this, are still going to have a tough time getting the investment they need for a complete build out the way it should be done. So oftentimes as marketers, we have to deal with, okay, so what do I do now if I can't get that investment? What's the next best thing? So what would you say to an organization, you know, mid-level, we've got a team of 5-7 people, size doesn't really matter, but if I'm struggling to get that investment, but I still feel like I need to get this data, I need to use this correctly, what would be maybe like a good, better, best versions of, I guess not best, but short of best, what would be some things that I could do with my org that I don't necessarily need as much investment for?
Sure. This is pretty difficult, but you know, remember like when we first talked in earlier in the conversation, we talked about being able to collect all of the data, ideally being able to put it into a data warehouse, and then being able to report on that, right? That's sort of like the ideal state, but that's sort of, in a lot of cases, very challenging to justify and quite difficult from a resourcing perspective. So I am certainly very understanding that not all companies have the ability to actually make those types of investments. And you know, a lot of my work is primarily with B2B software companies. So this may be more specific to those kind of companies and sort of their tech stacks and kind of like what they have in place. But, you know, I kind of think about three sort of levels of what you can do, right? And there's different like options for like, how can you kind of like get maybe not a complete picture that you would get with everything in the data warehouse, but, you know, a somewhat complete picture. Right. And so, you know, one option is to try to look at your existing tech stack and figure out, is there one system that I can use to be sort of my system of record or source of truth? Right. And put most of the data into that. Right. And so if you think about, you know, a B2B type environment, you know, you often have like a marketing automation platform and a CRM. In a lot of cases, that CRM is Salesforce. And I have a lot of my clients where what they will do is they will put all of the attribution data, marketing data, as much as possible into Salesforce, right? They'll append that information at the lead level, make sure it gets passed in opportunities, and ultimately to closed one. And so they're able to use Salesforce as sort of a system of record and then be able to look at marketing performance within the CRM. And that's not perfect, but it can do a pretty good job of capturing most of the stuff that you want, right? The other sort of option that I've seen is for people to essentially push the data to, you know, spreadsheets or Google Sheets or some sort of intermediate platform, right? And so, you know, an example of this would be taking some of your ad platform data from a Google Ads and pushing that to a Google Sheet and then pulling data from maybe it's HubSpot or Salesforce and pushing that into a Google sheet or an Excel sheet, and then pivoting them together so that you can understand and connect the two data sources together. And so, you know, sometimes you can build automations to make this a little bit easier. You can build, use different connector tools, like a funnel or Supermetrics, to make this a little bit easier as well. But then in those scenarios, you're able to at least get the reporting that you need into one place, which is a spreadsheet, right? Which still has limitations, but it can be good enough for a lot of different businesses. And then obviously, the other way that you could do it, which is not sort of the full data warehouse, is you can push the data, which we just talked about, into the ad platforms themselves. So assuming that most of your marketing investments that you're focused on are within paid media platforms, right? To the extent, like, you know, and this is true for a lot of businesses where all your money is being spent on Google or all your money is being spent on Meta, then what you can do is essentially push your downstream data into those platforms. And then you can use those platforms to measure success because you'll have all of their, you know, spend data, all of the impressions, the clicks, and then you'll be able to see your downstream conversions to leads and opportunities and to pipeline and all those kind of things. So then you can have that as a system of record that helps you understand performance. So those are probably like the three options that I think are easier to accomplish than doing a full, you know, data warehouse of all your marketing data.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's super actionable and doable. Especially if you have got like a more simple marketing plan and tactics.
Yeah, I'm very cognizant that, you know, it's sort of like what is practical. What is practical given the environment and the resourcing and the teams and the different resources. And so, you know, while I am always in favor of a dedicated marketing data warehouse, I'm very cognizant that that is not always possible. And so that doesn't mean that just because you can't do that, that you can't have a better sense for what your actual data and performance is.
Yeah. The, especially in the B2B SaaS world, in my experience, the first wrench that I see that gets thrown into a lot of those more ideal data plans is trade shows. The trade shows are always like a big wrench because it's like, hey, listen, I can just go in and talk to customers and I'm going to get this many demos or this many leads. But then the battle is like, well, they only came up to the booth because they saw the ads that we were hitting them with beforehand or the emails but we're retargeting them and they actually converted because of that. You know, it's just like, it gets infinitely complex by adding this one variable of in-person communication. And that brings me to my next question, which is years ago, we used to have structured debates within 97th Floor. We would just have two sides and debate some topic. And one topic I'll never forget we debated was, should marketing be data-focused, data-based, or should it be gut-based? You know, should you just go off my intuition? I just, you know, I don't have data to back this up, but I just know they're going to love this. I know this is going to work. And there's, you know, there's arguably some merit to both sides and some mix, truly. But I have seen organizations tie themselves in knots, especially when it comes to attribution models, trying to get the perfect attribution model. And it ends up being so expensive, both from a resource and a time perspective, when they would have been much better off of just saying, like, I'm going to accept some degree of blindness to what's happening, and I'm in favor of action. So I guess, what would you say to that? Like, what's your perspective on that? You know, you are so in the data with all these different organizations. I guess, what would you say to somebody who says, listen, just don't worry about it. Just get 15% visibility. That's good enough. We're just going to charge forward. We'll make mistakes, but it's through the charging forward that we'll actually learn what works and what doesn't.
That's a good question. I think,
you know, it's good when he sighs.
I will say, like, it is what you described, I see fairly often, which is, you know, marketing, maybe the broader company even decides that they need a new attribution system to properly understand, evaluate, measure performance so they can do the things that we talked about earlier, which is like optimize existing spend and figure out where to invest going forward to grow, right? And the problem is that those types of projects tend to be, you know, across the entire marketing org, often even outside of the marketing org, you have lots of cooks. Everybody has a different perspective. Everybody wants a certain way approach. And so you have this sort of like, you know, by committee decision-making process that essentially creates, in a lot of cases, an attribution model that is essentially good for nobody, right? Because it's trying to accommodate too many different stakeholders. And then it just becomes very complex. And then, you know, everyone's a little unhappy. Some people are very unhappy. Some people are a little unhappy. Everybody's unhappy. Nobody's happy, right? Because they think, oh, well, this doesn't properly give credit to my channel that I'm investing in. And here's why, right? And really, this other model would be better. And so that's quite challenging, especially when you have a process where it's done by committee. I think if you are going to do that process, you really need a strong sort of like leader or group within the company that's going to take a look and understand all the different stakeholders and ideally decide what is best for the broader company based on where the business is, right? Because, you know, depending on your business, the type of model and how sophisticated it needs to be can be pretty different, right? So like if I'm a business that is all digital, I don't do any of the stuff that you just talked about, I'm not doing any offline stuff, I'm not doing any events, then I could probably get away with a fairly simplistic model, right? Especially if there's not multiple touch points, right? Where it's like someone's, you know, seeing many ads or coming to the website many times before converting to a lead or to an opportunity. Whereas if I have a business that I have a multi-channel, I have multi-channel efforts where I've got a large event or trade show effort, I'm doing a bunch of, you know, content efforts, I have other things that I'm doing from a customer evangelism perspective, maybe I have partners involved as well, maybe I have a business where it's a very long sales cycle, right? Then the type of attribution model that you're going to need is much more complex than for other businesses. And so I think the challenge is figuring out for your business, what is the type of model that is necessary to properly support what you need? And I do think, you know, I'm sympathetic to the fact that most companies ideally like want like one model to rule them all, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like people can say, hey, this is the shared model that most everybody uses. But I also think that for a lot of teams, there should be the ability to see different models in a different way for a specific purpose, right? So what's an example, right? If I am running, let's say you create a model that is very first touch introducer focused because you're very focused on top of funnel driving new customers. But if I'm a, you know, email lifecycle marketer, or I'm a LinkedIn marketer who is running campaigns on, you know, existing prospects that we're trying to close, then that model can't measure what I'm doing. Right. Because it's mostly focused on top of funnel introducers before lead create. When these people are already leads, they're already in my system, I am essentially, you know, doing retargeting of those existing users. And so that needs to be measured in a different way. So even if you build that one model that is tilted towards a specific goal, you should have the ability for different versions of the attribution to be able to be applied for different purposes within the business. Assuming you have that kind of level of sophistication where you have some marketers who are focused on top of funnel versus some, you know, marketers that are focused on maybe pipeline acceleration, right? Or in some cases, expansion business, right? As opposed to new business. And as you get to be a larger organization, a lot of those things are true, which is why I think the sort of like build a single model for the entire company is just like, it's too difficult, and therefore you end up in a world where nobody's happy with what they have.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. And a really great way for these more complex orgs to tackle it is like build models to help people do their jobs better. And I think where it can tend to go off the rails is when the models are tied to compensation, because investment inherently then means compensation. And so it's one thing to say the search channel is getting credit for this conversion. And it's another thing to say the paid media specialist is getting credit for that conversion, you know? And I think, that idea of like using multiple models, none of them is kind of the be all and all, but they all help everyone to do their jobs more intelligently. Seems like that rings true is like a really great goal for these organizations, as they're building out their data. so I'd love to end, let's say, if I'm leading a team and we're in what I would call like a nascent stage of being like having this, like I'm not even close to the data warehouse. I'm trying to get there. And let's say maybe I have a team that doesn't quite yet have the skills needed to take us there. Barring the investment, what would you say to a marketing leader? Have your team start learning X, or have them start diving into this in order to get your team moving in the right direction. What would be that next step for them?
I'm going to spin it a little bit differently, hey, right?
Yeah, that's great.
One of the things that can happen within an organization is like, in a lot of cases, let's take like your typical paid media campaign managers, like maybe someone who's running, you know, paid social ads, someone who's running programmatic, someone who's running paid search, right? They're responsible primarily for managing those channels, right? Managing the budget, working with those specific platforms or those specific vendors and driving the business. In a lot of cases, they are not able to effectively do their jobs because they don't have the right data, right? Or they don't have the right resourcing, right? And what I find is the challenge is like they're typically working in that realm. And that's obviously where they have all their direct control. Where they don't have the control as much is what reporting I have, right? Whether or not I can set up like, you know, going back to our example before, which is like, if I'm in, you know, doing meta ads and I want to set up, you know, conversions API, I don't know how to set up conversions API, right? But if I look at it and I go, actually, if I can't set up a conversion API, I won't be able to be successful as a marketer in meta, right? And that's not always true, but in some cases it is.
Yeah.
And when those cases happen, you know, I do find that a lot of times those marketers, they're well-intentioned, right? They will go and try to figure out how to get the resources to do it. But in a lot of cases, they run into a roadblock. Oh, this person doesn't want to do it. They are not resourced. They're waiting to hire someone. So maybe they'll be able to do it in 6 months or another quarter, or we'll put you on the list. But, you know, it doesn't ever happen. And they check another quarter. And eventually a lot of them give up, right? And I kind of look at it and I go, gosh, like you can't give up because, and what they do is they just default back to, oh, well, I'll just optimize with what I have, right? I'll just use whatever reporting I have. It's good enough, but it's not perfect. And I just look at that and I say, no, like your success is tied to this. That's way more important, even if it's outside of your wheelhouse and not something that is technically your area of responsibility. It kind of is because you're responsible for that channel. And if that channel cannot be successful because you don't have the right reporting, then you need to be spending the time to figure out how to solve for that, as opposed to like figuring out, oh, maybe I'm going to like change my bids, refresh this creative, do all the things that you're normally going to do, because those things are actually more important. And so to your point, if that means like, I need to go learn SQL, because I need to go figure out how to like pull the data myself out of the data warehouse. Or if that means like, I need to go research tools that will allow me to connect the data, right? So like going back to that conversion API example. Like, instead of having, internal dev team, write to the Meta API, I can go work with a platform and go use a reverse ETL platform. So I can go research what reverse ETL platforms can actually support conversion API via Facebook, figure out what tool could actually do what I need to do, and then go try to build the case that tool should be used in this scenario, right? And I recognize, that's not easy. You're probably going to run into some roadblocks. People are probably going to say no. But if success for you is tied to some of these analytics or data or reporting issues, to me, those things are far more important. Like, to some degree, and I know this is impractical, you should basically say, I don't think as a company it continues to make sense for me to spend on Meta ads until I get this done.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that approach is what's ultimately necessary, but oftentimes is just challenging within the context of these organizations. Cause, in most cases they tried, right?
Right.
And it's just, they met resistance and then they gave up and then they don't try again. Which I think is unfortunate, because ultimately it means that they are essentially hampered and handicapped in terms of what they're able to do.
Oh, I love that. That is such a great takeaway. And building that resilience to continue to push, either figuring out how to build it yourself or continuing to push to get investment, even if you've been told no.
I love that. The ideal would be that they have a data analytics partner or maybe a marketing technology partner who would actually go and drive that for them, right? That's the ideal and really what should be the case. But in so many of these companies, that just is not true. And so, I feel like as marketers, they should try to own that more, right? It's obviously not always fair for me as an outsider to say that, but I do think that if I look at it, I'm just so data focused, which is if you don't have the right data and reporting to be effective in your job, you got to fix that. You have to figure out a way, right? And maybe it's not the perfect solution, like some of the data warehouse solutions that we talked about. Maybe it's some of the, put it all in Salesforce or put it into a Google Sheet, but figure out something that gets you to actually be able to understand performance properly.
Oh man, great, great takeaway to end on. I love that. This has been a really great discussion. I think if you're listening, think about where your org is at from a data perspective, and then work toward the ultimate solution of let's get it into a data warehouse. Barring that, get it into, your central repository like Salesforce or spreadsheet. And then I think even looking at the platforms as kind of a pseudo data warehouse, if your marketing plan is more simple, I think is a really great second tier solution, barring something more complex. Empowering your team.
If you listen to what the platforms want to do, right? Like if you heard the quotes that Mark Zuckerberg has said, it's like his world is his perspective is like, hey, you just tell us what your goals are and give us some money and we'll figure it all out for you. And, the reality is they're investing a ton in AI to make sure that they can do that effectively for you as a business better than you can, right? I know that that is a little bit scary for marketers to say I'm not going to choose my creative. I'm not going to choose the landing pages. I'm not going to choose what kind of campaign type. But in a lot of cases, if you give them the right data, they actually will be better, right? Because they're going to use machine learning. They're going to use AI. They're going to test. They're going to iterate. They're going to be able to do the things that, we as humans, unfortunately, cannot do as effectively.
Yeah. I mean, they've made some significant investments. And if you're giving them the correct data, you get to benefit from those investments without making any of them yourself in the advancement of AI. And so why not take advantage of that when it's there? I love that.
Yeah, definitely.
Gallant, thank you so much for joining us today. What would be the best, you do tons of consulting, a lot in the B2B tech world. What's the best way for people to connect with you?
I'm on LinkedIn. So if folks are interested, I work with a lot of B2B SaaS companies. I've worked with folks like DocuSign, Shopify, Intercom, And if you are a B2B SaaS company that is looking to, you know, improve your marketing efforts from a data-driven perspective and use those insights to help optimize and drive growth for your business, please do reach out on LinkedIn.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Gallant. It's been a pleasure. Great.
Thanks, Paxton. Have a good one.
You too. That's all for today, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and subscribe so that you don't miss future episodes. Big thank you to Gallant Chen for joining us today. You can find Gallant on LinkedIn if you want to talk more about data-driven marketing and growth strategies. You can also see his work and learn more at gallant.co. Some major takeaways from this episode. Number one, don't accept quote-unquote good enough data. If better reporting is critical for your success, be persistent about solving data problems, even if it means learning new tools or finding workarounds. Number two, focus on actionable outcomes. When you're pitching for data investment, emphasize future optimizations and growth opportunities rather than just looking at historical reporting. Number three, give platforms some real business signals. Feed those ad platforms your actual conversion data like SQLs, opportunities, and revenue, so that their AI can optimize for business value instead of just vanity metrics. You can find past episodes of the campaign and marketing tools and templates at 97thfloor.com. Also, you can learn more about the agency and get in touch with a marketing specialist if you want support for your own marketing campaigns. Please join us next week for a conversation with Patrick Kajerian, Senior Product Manager in Performance Marketing at Walmart. We're going to be talking about SEO product management and what that looks like at an enterprise scale. Until then, keep innovating, keep converting.